gentlemen, boys and girls, coming to you recorded on the Saturday of divisional round NFL football, it's your boys locked down. Unfortunate news, our dog Matt called out sick today, so it's just me and Chris. We're going to make some picks, we're going to talk some news, we're going to make some picks.
Yes, we are.
Keep it simple, stupid. That's what we're doing today. Yeah. So before we get into some picks, Chris, there's been some head coaching changes, more of them this week.
Yes, there have.
What's been going on? What's happening?
Well, so far out of the 8 openings, we have 6 of the openings are now occupied. We have 2 of them that are still vacant. Those are the Dolphins and the Bengals, but they do have head coaches in mind, but they're both currently in the playoffs. The Bengals are looking at Zach Taylor from the Rams, and the Dolphins are looking at Brian Flores from the Pats. So when those teams get out, we'll start looking at those guys and getting them hired. But other than that, Zach's team, the Packers, hired Matt LaFleur from Tennessee, which kind of shocked me a little bit.
I'm gonna be honest. I was not a fan of this originally, mainly because I wanted Green Bay to sign Josh McDaniels so badly. That was my go-to pick. But I did some thinking. I actually wrote a story about it this week that I'm gonna be releasing pretty soon. But I am a really big fan of Matt LaFleur to the Packers. LaFleur. I like the way I can't pronounce it right, but LaFleur. LaFleur.
LaFleur.
I'm a big fan of this to Green Bay, mainly because, listen, the way that I see it, Green Bay has, like, you know when you guys were kids and you get the freedom, right, to reorganize your bedroom, and you felt so good, you felt so motivated, you felt like just all this independence, you're the king of the castle, right? So motivated. Green Bay has not reorganized their room in 13 years because of a trophy that they won 5 years into said setup. With Mike McCarthy gone, I think it's going to light a fire in the team because Matt LaFleur is a LaFleur. He brings in a new scheme. He does a lot of, at least from the film that I've watched, he was the offensive coordinator of Tennessee last year. Year before that, he worked with Sean McVay in Los Angeles. Year before that, he was a QB coach for Atlanta. So he's worked with Matt Ryan, Marcus Mariota, and Jared Goff. I like the guys he's worked with. I think him and Rodgers are going to hit it off really well. I know that's the first guy LaFleur is going to talk to. I watched this film. He brings in a lot of just fancy schematic plays. The way he incorporates the run game with the pass game is very unique. His biggest mission on the field is to get wide receivers space in the midfield, very similar to Doug Peterson. So I'm a fan of this. He does a lot of screenplays, a lot of screen passing. But most importantly in all of this that I see is that he gives Aaron Rodgers the freedom to keep doing Aaron Rodgers-esque magic on the field. Like the way that I see it, LaFleur and Rodgers are going to be, it's like you scratch my back if I'll scratch yours. You know, like Rodgers is just as responsible offensively for LeFleur's success as LeFleur is responsible for Rodgers' success going forward. I'm very excited going into the next season. Mike Pettine is going to stay in as defensive coordinator. I know LeFleur is going to run a lot more offensive plays I think he's going to take over play calling offensively, which he's been doing it the last 3 years or two.
Is Joe Philbin staying there?
He is gone. Philbin's out of there. Okay. So I am excited. Mark Murphy's got something running good in Green Bay. I just hope the draft picking season goes better than the last couple of years.
Yeah.
It's not been good. But I'm excited. Packers season is going to be great next year. I'm stoked. I really am stoked.
I think it's good for Rodgers, too, because what I've heard about LaFleur is he's going to coach hard.
Yeah,
Rodgers, he needs a guy that's going to push him. So it's going to make him better. And getting a young guy in there that can relate to him, somebody new, could really help Rodgers just propel and get even better and cement his legacy.
Yeah.
So other than the Packers hire, the Cleveland Browns even though they had a lot of success with Greg Williams as an interim, they actually fired him and they hired their offensive coordinator, Freddie Kitchens.
Gonna be awesome.
It's a new guy. He's a young guy there. As for my team, the Denver Broncos, we've fired Vance Joseph, who is now the defensive coordinator for Arizona. And their head coach is now Cliff Kingsbury from Texas Tech.
Which is interesting. Yes. I don't know what to think about Cliff to the NFL. I hope he's successful. I would never wish a head coach not to be successful, but it's almost like every team is trying so hard to find the next Sean McVay, when McVay in himself is the exception of a young genius mastermind head coach. So I don't know. I hope it's not just a fad that teams are running with that. 'Cause like, I mean, Kingsbury was decent with Texas Tech and he was going to go to USC and try to revamp their offensive scheme. Like, what was he, 35-40, Texas Tech?
I'm not too sure.
I think that was his record, 35-40. I don't know. I know with all of the coaching madness, it has been very overwhelming because we're also right in the middle of playoff season. So I'm getting all this news and like semi-caring about it because it's just stressful. It's very overwhelming with all this playoff talk and
crazy time. And,
Brian Flores going to the Dolphins. That's cool. Again, I care. I want you guys to know I care about the head coaches, but after February 3rd is when I'm really going to care because it's just, once we get into the true off season, then I'll really start. It's just a lot, guys. It's a lot. So, but all in all, I love the fact that we're getting notified when interviews are starting and when they're ending. I think it's hilarious, but I also think it keeps everybody on their toes. It keeps everybody like, oh crap, he's interviewing here, he's interviewing there. Let's talk about this, talk about that. It adds in a lot to the off. It's going to make the offseason way more interesting. Not only that, but we've had a lot of hirings and firings already in the season's not even over yet. So all once right, these yeah. once the Patriots season is over and once the who are the two teams? The Patriots,
the Rams.
They both have coaches that are being talked about, mm-hmm. or coordinators that are in a lot of hiring talk. So should make things more interesting moving forward into the off season.
Yeah, Kingsbury was interesting because I mean he's kind of going for him where he did coach Pat Mahomes in college. And he molded him into the guy that he is now. So he's got that. And the reason I think he was the offensive coordinator in USC, but he resigned because USC blocked him from interviewing with NFL teams. So he left there and went to Arizona.
That's interesting too, because it's like, it's just one of those things where it's like, guys, we can't control people, because if we control them from doing the thing that they want to do, they're mm-hmm. going to end up doing it anyway.
Exactly.
I think that's good dating advice. Don't control your women, fellas, because it's just going to give them more curiosity. No, not. But we're not having that conversation today. So, head coaches, don't. Yep.
So, continuing on.
Because that needs. Yeah, let's move forward. We're not having dating talk today.
So, after the Broncos fired Vance Joseph, they hired Chicago Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, who led the Bears to the number one defense this year and has been very successful in his career. And as a fan, I'm very excited to have him. I think that the Broncos proved 3 years ago that with a really great defense that they could go really far, and they won the Super Bowl. I think he's looking into getting a young guy with a new school kind of attitude in as an offensive coordinator, because he actually turned down Gary Kubiak as being our OC, which is, in a way, it could be a good thing, something new. But if we have a really creative offense and our defense is back to where it used to be, I think our sky's the limit there. So I'm excited to have him. He's been in the NFL for 32 years, I think, something like that. Never been a head coach. It's going to be cool.
I love Fangio, man. I'm excited for what he's going to bring. I mean, like, Denver's offense is already very good. It's just hard to be a successful defense when the entire flow of the game is put on your back when you're expected to do so much when the offense isn't producing, or special teams especially. So I'm excited for this Denver team next year. If they can find, I'm mainly to see, similar to Manny Diaz in Miami, for the, in college football, Miami Hurricanes, how he switches from defensive coordinator to head coach and what he brings, if he's going to bring the same tenacity from the defense over to the offense, which I think he will. I'm excited. I'm very excited for Denver next year. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And there are two candidates at the end when they were deciding for a head coach was Vic Fangio and Mike Munchak. And now all of a sudden they're looking into getting Mike Munchak, even though they already hired Fangio and have Munchak be our O-line coach, who he's probably the best offensive line coach in the NFL right now. So we might get both of them at the end of the day, which would be pretty awesome.
That'd be very sweet.
Yeah. The last couple of head coach hirings here, we have the Bucks hiring Bruce Arians,
which is cool.
I didn't think he was actually going to come back. So it's good to have him back.
Saw that he's going to try to bring back DeSean Jackson, which is pretty dope. It's interesting. That's all I have to say about it. It's interesting.
He brought Todd Bowles into his staff as the DC defensive coordinator.
Which the Jets had a great defense last year overall. So that could also... Defense was Tampa's biggest struggle this past year. So,
and speaking of the Jets, as our last team, they hired Adam Gase from the Dolphins as their new head coach. I think that's a good hire for them to pair him with Sam Darnold.
Overall, I think Matt said it before in the past that Gase just never really got a good shot with a decent team. He's getting head coach, right? So that could be. I mean, Sam Darnold is. Honestly, he's the dream quarterback to have right now. He's young. He can be molded. This is going to be, however, for me, the prove it matchup for Gase. Like if, all right, cool. I believe he feels this way. He never really got a good shot with a good team in Miami, which is consistent with any Miami sports team. He's got a great defense. You can mold the offense. Prove it to us. Prove that you can be a good head coach. What was the deal? Like 3 years, I think?
I didn't see his contract, no. But I'm sure it's at least three or four.
Most of them are 3 years, yeah. So unless you're John Gruden. But this is going to be good. I'm excited for Adam Gase. Is that all the head coaching news?
Yep. That's it.
Here is how the rest of the show is going to go. Me and Chris are going to run through our picks. We're going to run through some analysis. We've got two games today, Colts versus Chiefs at 4:30 and Cowboys versus Rams at 8:15, NBC and Fox for
two. You ready for this, Zach? You ready for these games? I'm ready.
About to be ready. Yeah. I'm so stoked. I can't wait. I got a lot of... You guys are going to be a little surprised with my picks today. I went the high route, literally the high route. You're going to think I went the high route. Haha, get it. Here's how it's going to work. Chris is going to start off with his pick. I'm going to do my pick. And Matt, because he's a gentleman and a scholar and because I asked him to, he texted us his pick. So I'm going to read it over. See if we'll probably agree, or if I see something I don't agree with, I'll fight him on it because he's not here to defend himself, which is going to be awesome. We'll start off. Colts, number six Colts versus number one Chiefs. Again, this is the divisional round, the 11-6 Colts versus the 12-4 Chiefs. Chris, what do you think about today's 4:30 game?
I tell you what, all these games in general, I mean, it's so hard to choose who's going to win these games. It's like, even from last week, they were all extremely hard to pick, and they were all really good matchups. This is one of the best weekends of the year for me, like, football-wise. Just four really high-quality matchups we get to watch all weekend. It's, like, awesome.
Yep.
But Colts-Chiefs, it's going to be snowing, and it's going to be snowing hard.
Football weather.
It's football weather. It's that time of year. To me, I think that benefits the Colts, though. And here's why. I think they have a better running game than the Chiefs. I don't think the Chiefs can really slow them down on the offense, on defense. And I haven't really seen Pat Mahomes play in the cold weather like that. in the snow accident. I mean, I've seen Andrew Luck play in the cold. He's been good. So that alone makes it interesting, and it's in Arrowhead. It's probably one of the loudest stadiums in the league. It's hard to go out and there and win. Colts are coming in hot. They could be the best sixth seed that we've seen in quite some time. They're 10-1 in the last 11 games, following a 1-5 start. And since week 7, they've allowed an NFL best 16.4 points per game. So not only is their offense playing well, their defense has been the best point in allowing points per game since week 7. So to me, that kind of sums up my pick. I think the Colts are going to come in there and get the upset in Arrowhead. The Chiefs in the past several years have struggled at home in the playoffs. Last year, they lost to the Titans in a battle there that they should have won. But until they prove it to me that they can win in the playoffs, I can't pick them. I'm going Colts here. And I still think it'll be close. I think it'll be 24-20.
Nice. Yep. Look, this game's going to go one of two ways. I have the same opinion for this game as I do for our next game in Dallas and Los Angeles, or the Rams. It's going to go one of two ways. Patrick Mahomes is going to show up. He is going to drop 50 or 60 points. It's going to be wild. He is going to put the team on his back. Once again, he's going to prove all the doubters wrong. And he's going to further cement his MVP run that he's had this year. That's one way. The other way is my pick that I think is going to happen. Listen, Houston's run defense was the third best in the league entering the wild card. Indy put up 200 yards on him. Kansas City's run defense, 27th. Oh boy. If you run the ball, you run the clock, you control the game, you keep the ball away from Mahomes. That is the game plan that the Colts need to have today, this afternoon. Another thing, Colts in the red zone. Of the Colts' 52 total offensive touchdowns during the regular season, 44 of them occurred in the red zone. Eric Ebron being, he caught, what was this, 10 of them, or 10 red zone touchdowns. Listen, Andrew Luck needs to control this game. Andrew Luck needs to keep pressing on with this late MVP race because he's been fantastic the last 10 weeks of the season. Fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
Including last week. I did notice last week they did have some struggles late in the fourth quarter. That could be an issue going in with listen, yes, I'm picking the Colts to win this game, but if we're going into the fourth quarter and it's at least a 3-score game, we can't count out the Colts yet. I mean, the Chiefs yet, sorry. Mm-hmm. This is a team, this is a high-powered offense. Sammy Watkins is available today to play today, too. Going to be an issue Tyreek Hill. Between Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins, that is going to be an issue for the Colts defense. This is a great Colts defense. They've proven themselves as elite the last couple weeks, but yeah, that's my verdict. Honestly, this game, if we had to give it a motto, is something's got to give. Who's going to give? Is it going to be the Colts offense or the Chiefs offense? Which one is going to struggle today? So I got the Colts. It's going to be a barn burner. It's going to be a great game. I'm very excited. I expect it. And you know what? Even to throw it up there, I could honestly see the Chiefs going up like 28-7 in halftime. I could see it being a blowout. But then here comes Andrew Luck. Here comes that Colts offense. Either way, a team is coming back in this game. Either way, it's going to be one of those games you can't walk away from it because it's going to be a tight one. All right, Matt.
Before we go to Matt, I have two other things I'm looking at in the game. Can the Chiefs secondary slow down T.Y. Hilton and Eric Ebron and all the weapons they have on the Colts, because their secondary has not been good recently. I believe their secondary has the most pass interference or holding calls in the league, something like that. They hold a lot and they're inexperienced. So We'll see if they show up today. Also, in the snow, how's the kicking game going to be?
Yeah,
we've seen Vinatieri in those snow games. He can still kick. He's a legend, but still could be a factor. So,
Even moving forward with our picks, the crazy thing with the divisional round is with teams like the Chiefs, Patriots, Saints, and Rams, we haven't seen them play in 2 weeks.
No.
So we don't really know what to expect from any of the, like, I'll hold my thoughts. That's just something to keep in mind as we go forward, is we don't know what to expect. The Chiefs could plump or they could drop 75 points. We don't know. Just don't know.
After you say Matt's thing, I want to ask you a question.
Sure. Matt says, I think the Chiefs beat Indy, but, all caps, it'll be a close one. I love the way Indy's defense is playing, and we're not sure how Mahomes will play in the postseason. That could be a shocker. That's a great point too. This is Mahomes' first postseason start. And it's a snow game. If this game were to fall through for him, we could probably blame Mother Nature, because that would suck. But like I said, we could all be dumbfounded by the end of the game. So, yeah.
My question, and it could be different depending on the matchup and stuff, but I wonder, is it better in the playoffs to have rest or to have the momentum going into the divisional round?
Depends on the team.
Yeah.
I think I want to compare two teams on that question. Look at the New England Patriots. They have proven year after year that the bye week benefits them, that it gives Belichick time to plan, it gives Brady time to rest, gives the offense time to rest, gives the defense time to plan. That is a team that does good. They do very much good from a bye week. You look at a team like the Colts, they are a momentum-driven team. They always have been, but they are a team that thrives on momentum. A team that does not thrive on momentum, another interesting tidbit, is the Rams. They blew it after the bye week. They've been really crappy ever since then. Okay, Jared Goff has looked really bad since then.
Whole different team.
I'll save the rest of that because we are going to move forward, actually, with speaking of the Rams, with Cowboys-Rams. I'll go ahead and continue what I was saying, make my pick. The Rams have looked – they've looked pretty soft overall since the bye week. Very similar that I said – what I just said. If Mahomes shows up for the Chiefs today, the Chiefs will probably win. If Jared Goff shows up today, the Rams are going to blow out the Cowboys. Tonight. They're going to blow them out. The reason why is because, listen, Jared Goff, Sean McVay needs Jared Goff to play like he's played in the first half of the season. He needs to control the game scheme. He needs to flow from the game scheme, and he needs to also incorporate my brain right now is just lagging. Running back. Oof.
Rewind.
Oof. Huh. Oof, oof, oof. Yeah. The Rams starting running back. My mind is gone right now. The Rams starting running back. They listen, that was awkward. So moving forward, the Rams, if, because here's the thing that I see it. Sean McVay is a great head coach. So his schemes, especially offensively, are just impressive. The way that he gives his wide receiver space, the way that he gives them, he mixes up the defense is just flat out impressive. But he doesn't always have the players to back it up. In this case, Jared Goff. Could an experience play a factor in this playoff game? Sure. Jared Goff has had a playoff start before, right?
Yes. Last year was his first one.
And it wasn't good. I remember that.
No, it wasn't.
There's a redemption story. There's another storyline to look into this. So, the way I'm picking this game is looking at the most consistent team, and it's the Rams. The Cowboys. Now, with that being said, just like any other matchup in this divisional round, if the Cowboys win, I'm not going to be shocked. I think bottom line, like I just said, if Goff shows up, Rams win. If he struggles against this really tough Dallas defense, Dallas is going to pull off the upset. It's a matter of fact, man, that Dallas has struggled with consistency this year. They've been pretty good in the spotlight for the most part. But like I just said, After the bye week, the Rams struggled, but maybe this is the bye week they needed. Maybe this is the break they needed to get their crap together, to reshift and refocus and move forward going against Dallas. This was a toss-up. This is honestly one of – even, like, talking about it, I'm still not completely sure. This is the hardest matchup for me to look over for this weekend. It's going to be a toss-up. I'm picking the Rams, though. I think this is the team that we expected them to be. It'll be high-scoring. I'm sure it'll be, like, 35-17. So it's going to be a toss-up overall. So go ahead.
Yeah, I agree that it's going to be high scoring. It's going to be interesting. I think it's going to come down to both the O-line and the D-line of both teams. Because Ezekiel Elliott leads the league in rushing. The Rams allow 5.1 yards per carry, which is the most in the NFL. That bodes well for Dallas. On the other hand, the Rams' defensive line is very good. The Cowboys' defensive line is very good. And the O-line of the Rams, they need to give Jared Goff time to be able to make plays. And for the Rams to have a chance to win, he needs to make plays. Give the ball to Todd Gurley. We'll see how healthy he is. I think he's doing pretty well now. He was out, I think, the last two games of the year. See how well he does. But, yeah, it's going to come down to can Zeke just run the ball all over the Rams, or if the Rams can stop him, and if the Rams can make enough plays on offense. To me, I think Dallas, being that they're really inconsistent this year, especially on the road, they're 3-5 this year on the road, and they're 8-1 at home. They're a different team. I think the Rams pull this one out too. And I think it's going to be close. It's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to come down to Jared Goff making a play at the end, and they win like 30-27, a close one. I'm looking forward to that game.
Yeah, that's a good point you made. That if Dallas's running game can get started quick and early on, they might be able to surprise this Rams defense, which has been fairly consistent all season. It's a toss-up game. Matt made a similar point. Says, I think Dallas beats the Rams. Ooh, the Rams give up over 5 yards a carry, and Dallas rushes for over 5 yards a carry. Maybe all those stars the Rams have will finally step up, but I don't see it happening. Dak's got to make some big plays, which he will, and Matt also said, I think he will. That's another thing, playoff Dak, round two, third game of his postseason career. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point, actually. Again, I could see either outcome happening. I'm still going with the Rams, but I could see either outcome happening.
Oh, yeah.
Which Dallas team are we going to get today? It's like that every week.
We never know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we never know. You got anything
else? I think both offenses are going to light it up. I don't think the defenses will play well today. If you are a person who likes offense, watch this game.
Yeah, this is not going to be a big defensive slugfest. It's... Yeah, or it could be. We don't know. We never know what team we're going to get from
you. Yeah, we just never know.
All right, that's Saturday. That's tonight's games. Tomorrow, we've got the Chargers versus the Pats at 1 o'clock on CBS. This was another – here's the thing. You go ahead. I need to collect my thoughts. You go ahead and talk about this game.
Okay. It's another interesting one. Between Philip Rivers and Tom Brady, Tom Brady is undefeated against Rivers in his career. 7-0. And I mean, they're up there in age. It's getting to a point where Rivers has got to go in and prove something, that he can go out and beat Brady, especially in the playoffs. But another thing that's interesting is the Chargers are 9-0 away from Los Angeles. Even on the East Coast, all the traveling that they do, it's going to be another back-to-back 10 o'clock in the morning game for them, to their bodies. They're 9-0 away from LA. New England is 8-0 at home. They're the only undefeated team at home this year. And, you know, the Chargers, when you look at this matchup, it looks like it favors the Chargers. They are banged up at running back. Melvin Gordon got hurt a little bit last week. Their backup, Austin Eckler, is kind of banged up too. I think that's going to be key. It's going to be cold, but Philip Rivers can play well in the cold. Tom Brady's proven he can play well. I think they both play well. I mean, I do think It's hard to go into Gillette Stadium in the playoffs, go and beat Brady, even when he hasn't. He may, at this point in his career, he may not even be the best quarterback in the AFC right now. He might be the worst. But it's playoff time and it's Tom Brady time. I think they come out on top. Unfortunately, gosh, I don't want them to. I hope I'm wrong. But I think they make enough plays that they go out there and beat the Chargers by about a touchdown. 27-20.
Oof. Listen, friends, family, listeners of Lockdown Podcast. Historically, what is the way to beat Tom Brady? You apply pressure. Apply a little bit of pressure, get him out of his comfort zone. What helps is a Rob Gronkowski who's not been on his A game. What helps is Josh Gordon getting kicked out of the NFL once again. What helps is a Patriots defense that has just been off their access recently. However, this is a game in Gillette Stadium where the Patriots are undefeated this year, where, honestly, they just don't lose in the postseason. They don't lose at home. It's hard for them to lose at home. This is going to be a close game. I know last week the Chargers blitzed Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense three times they blitzed them, and they still had pressure consistently. The Patriots offensive line has struggled this year. The Chargers defensive line has been amazing. I don't think it's going to be as easy as running 7 D-backs throughout the game to stop the Patriots pass game. This is Bill Belichick we're talking about. We could talk all about upsets. We could talk all about how the Chargers, this is a team that's going to show up, but this is Bill Belichick we're having in conversation with. We can't always just count out Big Bill like that. This is going to be the same old Patriots. It's going to be the same old Patriots team that we get every postseason. I don't see the Chargers winning this game. Part of me wanted to, because I love Phillip Rivers. I wanted to see them. I understand they're undefeated on the road. I understand this is going to be like this is a big year for Phillip Rivers. This is many are looking at it as potentially like his last big shot to get his ring. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it happening. They've got Goliath and little Phil. So sorry, Chargers fans, but or Patriots haters, but it's an easy pick for me. I thought it was hard until I thought about the coaching scheme with Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. It's Tom freaking Brady. It's the answer every single year. I know I sound sad. I actually want the Pats to win this game, but Pats win probably like it. Honestly, I think this is going to like, I see this being the, when's the next game start game? I see this being like the 38-21 game where the Chargers just don't show up. They just don't show up. And it's going to be sad. A lot of people will be upset, except those rocking in Gillette Stadium. Pats are taking this one. Sorry. What did Matt say? Matt said, yep, that's what I'm talking about. I think the Pats beat the Chargers. Schematically, the Chargers should beat the Pats. Fair point. The Chargers are more talented than New England. I'll give them that. On their roster. Schematically, the Chargers should beat the Pats. If Hunter Henry can play, it'll only make Rivers more dangerous. But I don't trust Rivers. I do trust Brady. Those are very good points that he made. We trust Brady. He's proven it over the years. Rivers, again, just like Mahomes, this could be the oh my God game. Like, what is happening? It could be. I don't think it is, but it could. Mm-hmm. Everyone hopes it is. You got anything else on this one?
Hopefully the run game plays well for Los Angeles. I almost said San Diego. I always catch myself doing that. Keenan Allen has to play well. Mike Williams has to play well if they're going to win this game too. They got to have a big aerial attack. But I just don't see it happening. Mm-hmm. Hope I'm wrong. All right. Patriot hater.
I have a bad feeling we're about to differ on this next game. Eagles Saints. Nick Foles versus Drew Brees. Chris, Saint who you got? Nick. Saint Nick.
Okay. This is another tough one. Although New Orleans is the heavy favorite in this one.
Mm-hmm.
They're just an absolutely dominant team in the Superdome, and it's just no doubt about it. They're probably the best home team in the NFL, even though the Patriots are 8-0 at home. The Saints are the best home team in the NFL. Their offense is just their whole team really is just a totally different team when they're there. Their defense this year has played well too. More than other years. I don't know. I think the matchup really is the Eagles. They're young on defense right now. Their secondary is very young. I think Breeze can pick them apart. They can pick anybody apart there, really. Yeah. The Eagles are hot, though, man. It's, like, hard not to pick against them. But, I don't know, I think the run of St. Nick is going to end right here in New Orleans. I think the Saints dominate. I'd like to see the Eagles make a run. I love seeing Nick Foles do this. I do think, though, if the game is close and you give Nick Foles the ball in crunch time, I think he makes plays and he might get them to the upset. But my gut feeling is the Saints just tear him apart.
Mm-hmm.
They have a great game and they're going to win by like 2 touchdowns.
I'm going to read Matt's pick first. He said, Eagles and Saints, .. All caps, Nick Foles, baby. Keep it going. I'm glad Matt's not here today. I'm not glad he's not here today. I wish he was here because me and Chris were, well, I agree with Chris. Look, here's the deal. By the way, I miss you, Matt. Sorry if you were offended by that comment. Here's the deal. I love Nick Foles. I do. He's the man. This Philly team is fun to watch. But this is a Saints team. God, they're dangerous in the Superdome. Like, good Lord, they're dangerous in the Superdome. And you've got to know, New Orleans is going to show up tomorrow. That place is going to be rocking. It's going to be loud. It's going to be hard to call plays. I think it's going to be a lot of offside penalties for the Eagles. I think there's going to be a lot of miscommunication. This is not going to be easy. I can see this game getting out of hand quickly. I can see it being a disappointment at halftime. I can see it being just an evisceration, like, as a whole. But if New Orleans loses this game, it won't be because Philadelphia beat them. It'll be because New Orleans beat themselves. This is a game they should win. The Saints should dominate this game. But if it's close, like you're saying, if it's within 14 points going into the or halfway through the fourth quarter, you got to keep Foles in. You got to count him in. It's Foles magic, yeah. Baby. Like, you can't discount it. He's proven it time after time in the clutch. So, yeah, I'm going with that saying with expression this week. Saints, you're going to either win with yourselves or lose to yourselves. This is you've got to win this game. Also, if you heard about Sean Payton's motivational speech he put in, brought in, how much was it, $250,000 in cash or something like that, and put it on a table with...
I think he had the Super Bowl trophy sitting on top of the cash.
Trophy, and he said, you want this? Let's go win 3 effing games. I'm not going to lie. I'm not even a Saints fan, and I got chills. But here's another point I want to make. My last point. Listen, the Saints are looking for the Super Bowl, right? They're looking 3 games ahead. They're looking at February 3rd. They're booking their tickets for February 3rd. Philly is a team that plays play for play, down for down. They don't look in the second quarter. The third, look at what they're at, right? This is a team. Listen, when Aaron Judge walked out of Fenway Park after game 2 of the American League Divisional Series, he had a boombox, which was stupid. He had a boombox playing Frank Sinatra's New York, New York. Do you know what the Red Sox song was after every victory in the playoffs? New York, New York by Frank Sinatra. Do you know what they did after Aaron Judge brought out that boombox? They scored 20 runs inside Yankee Stadium in 2 games while only allowing 4. The Red Sox are a petty baseball team. You know who the petty equivalent or the equivalent of said Red Sox team is in the NFL? The Philadelphia Eagles. This is a team that listens. This is a team that hears the hate. They hear the talk. They like having the underdog card. That is another reason, once again, just like if Dallas wins, I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if Philly comes back and wins his games and leaves us completely shook as to what the hell just happened. Yeah. So, all in all, it's going to be so fun. I'm so excited for all these games. We could absolutely see no bye week teams going into the conference title. We could have Philly and Dallas versus Indianapolis and the Chargers. We could get a Los Angeles-led Super Bowl. We could get freaking, I don't know. We could if you were to sit here and tell me it's going to be Dallas and the Chargers in the Super Bowl, I'd be like, yeah, I can see that. That makes sense.
Even if you said that both the six seeds would make it to the Super Bowl,
which would be freaking awesome.
It could actually happen.
Any of it. That's probably the most realistic matchup, honestly, because we haven't seen these the first round teams in a while. So It's, I don't know, dude. It's going to be wild. It's going to be crazy.
I got a bold prediction a little bit.
Oh, no.
The winner of this Eagles Saints game will make it to the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
Even if the Eagles win. I think they go into Dallas or they go into LA and they go and beat them.
That's a good pick. You know what I want to happen though? Honestly, I've been thinking about it. I think it would be so funny to have New Orleans get into the Super Bowl in Atlanta and their rivals don't. And win. Like, listen, if the Saints win the Super Bowl in Atlanta, they own the city. That is from now on. They do whatever they want in Atlanta, because that's like Green Bay winning in Chicago. Like, I'd be like, that's like Denver winning in Kansas City. That'd be like, you now own the city. Like, that would be the funniest. There would be such an offset of so many Falcons fans there saying, I don't care the AFC team is. They have to win this game. That'd be, and that's a total Drew Brees game. They're like, yeah, we're going to get our job. That's a Sean Payton game. Get the job done. So, I don't know, man. So who are the teams you picked again for this weekend?
This weekend I have the Colts, Rams, Pats, and Saints. So I only have one road team.
Yeah, so that's all my picks too. Okay, we all have the same picks. Matt had the Chiefs, Cowboys, Patriots, and Eagles. So Matt's picks differed from ours. So,
and out of our Super Bowl picks, I already lost my AFC team. The Ravens are gone. Oof. So I got the Saints left. I got to keep going with them.
That's all I got to say. Just listen. Yeah. That's all I got to say. It's going to be fun, guys. We're going to be watching very closely. We're going to be locked in.
It's the best weekend of the year for football.
NFL football. I got the eight best teams in the NFL.
Oh yeah.
Dueling it out. But hey, you want to slide on over to a podcast outlet and you're like, hey, Zach, where can I find you? Where are you at? We are on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher. Bye, guys.
See you guys.